You probably will hear me go in and out for just a moment. I'll go ahead and let you know that we're experiencing technical difficulties, but we'll work through it. Well, good morning, and welcome to December. Can you believe it? We only have a few more weeks of 2018 left, and we always end the years off with a bang, right? They say December is the month that everybody works to go in debt for. I don't know. I visit the thrift stores and try to find bargains and, you know, find the things that people want, they think they want. But, you know, how many of you have ever been, let's ask this question with regards to Christmas. Have you ever been regifted? You know what that means? Where you give somebody something and then you might get it back. Well, I remember one year, my dad and I, when I grew up with my dad, we always brewed tea at home. So I thought one year, hey, you know, a tea maker, he would love that. You know, that would be something that he would absolutely love. So I gave him the tea maker. 2 years later, I was on my way back to college. A little early, and he asked me if I would drop the gifts off to my aunt from him. I was like, sure, yeah, no problem. And I just stayed and watched him open the gifts. There was that tea maker. I didn't bring it up to him that I had remembered that I got you that for Christmas one year, Dad. Anyway, but it makes you feel kind of, I don't know, like it wasn't the right gift for that person, but you tried, right? That's what matters. It's a thought that counts, as they say. But when you think about Christmas, what is the real meaning of Christmas? We have all the different businesses and people who want you to buy their stuff. I mean, if you were to actually watch TV, I would think that majority of people think that Christmas has to do with buying a new car, because there are a lot of car commercials on TV, and it's like, yeah, I'm waiting for them to say, okay, if you buy our car, we'll make sure you got a new car every year. I'll buy that car. You know, if every year I'm going to get a new car and I don't have to keep, you know, I just keep making I don't want to talk about payments. Those things are annoying. But we have all kinds of different concepts of what Christmas is and what Christmas is about. And I remember listening to a conversation on one of the Christian broadcast stations on the radio, and they were talking about that, how a lot of the music and a lot of the movies that are out for Christmas, what do they have to do with Christmas? And that is I think it's a valid question. It's a question that we have to ask. What is the meaning of Christmas? Well, this year I want to challenge you to spend Christmas at the place where we got the most important gift of all. And that is the gift of salvation. And that came from the cross. And so this Christmas, I want to challenge you to spend Christmas at the cross. Do you know the cross was not an accident? It was completely intentional. It was by design and by the plan of God. And see, when you think about the cross, it was through the cross that we had salvation given to us. The perfect, most excellent gift that keeps on giving. Because salvation means eternity. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for the wonderful love that you have given us through the cross of Jesus Christ, through the salvation that we have, through knowing him and knowing that we have redemption because of what he's done. And Lord, we just ask right now, as we come to this time, may we reflect on the cross and what it means to us as individuals. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The next few weeks, we're going to be spending time at the cross, Christmas at the cross, and we're going to be talking about how the cross brings in all these different gifts and how we receive these different gifts from the cross. But this morning, we're going to be spending just an introduction of a time at the cross, and then we're going to begin with this conversation. I remember when I was about, I would say, sixth grade, and my dad asked me, "What do you want for Christmas?" And at the time, it was a Sega Game Gear, little handheld game system. You put cartridges in, and it was color. You know, the Game Boy was green screen. It was monochrome. It was I couldn't stand the Game Boy. I tried it one time and I didn't like it. And so I wanted the color screen. I wanted the Sega Game Gear. And I remember my dad saying, "You're not getting it." Man, come on. I mean, you asked me what I wanted for Christmas, and that's what I said I wanted. And he just basically told me point blank. He says, "I'm not getting it for you." I said, "Okay, well, I don't know. I don't want anything else. That's all I want." Well, Christmas Day came, and he had this big old box there under the tree, and I was like, "That's too big for the Game Gear. I don't want it. I don't care." And I'll be honest, I was being a spoiled little brat. You know, Christmas Day brings out the brattiness of kids. I know. I've learned from my own example with that. And so it gets my turn, and I open up the gift, and it's a box, and it just says some sort of game board. And I was like, "Yeah, whoopee-doo, I don't want it." I was being obnoxious and being pouty, and he just said, "Okay, well, I'll just take it back. But you may want to look a little closer." And so I looked at the box, and I was like, "Hey, this is my game board. I have this game. Why did he get me?" And then I felt it, and it was like, "Oh, wait. It's something else. This doesn't feel like that." So I opened it, and there's another box wrapped up. And I'm like, "What's going on?" And so I opened it, and there's staring back at me these words, "Game Gear." I was excited. I was so happy. I was like, "Dad, you said you weren't going to get this for me. How is it that you're..." He felt pretty proud, I'm sure. And I felt pretty satisfied until I realized I didn't have batteries for it. So I spent, and Christmas Day looking for batteries back then, Walmart wasn't there. There was no Walmart. Convenience stores, you didn't have the money. You'd have to spend all your Christmas pass money to buy batteries from a convenience store. So there was no chance in the world that I was going to get batteries on Christmas Day. So I start rummaging through the house, and I take batteries out of everything. Everything I could find, I tried to get batteries out. And I got maybe 3 minutes of gaming on that system before I go look for more batteries, and it didn't work. And then I realized, you know, I wanted this gift that I have to take care of in order to, I have to provide for it to keep paying. And I was like, "This is ridiculous. Why did I want this in the first place?" And so I went back to being the pouty little brat that I was before I got the gift that I wanted. Isn't that the way Christmas works sometimes? You don't get what you want, so you start to kind of, well, when you're a kid, let's say. Now remember, I was 10 or 11 years old. It wasn't last year. Well, maybe it was. I don't know. But the point is, we don't always get what we want. And then when we do get what we want, how long do we keep it for? I can tell you from, woo, that got loud pretty quick. That's a wake up. I can tell you with the example of the Game Gear, I kept that system for maybe 4 weeks. And then I traded for something else. I never told my dad I did that, but I don't know what happened to it. I really don't. I think I took it to school or something and traded somebody for something else. And, you know, the barter system worked in the school system, I don't really remember what I got out of it. But I know my dad put in a lot of time, a lot of energy to provide for it. And I regret that I gave that away the way I did. But isn't that the way we are sometimes? What we think we want, when we finally get it, it's not really what we wanted. But here we have something that God has given us that we needed. We needed salvation. We needed the gift that God has provided us. If you saw the world that it was, where it was back in Jesus' day, and where people were, and how they lived their lives, and how they lived for themselves, and they were property in many cases. You know, we reflected on that this past Wednesday night. I'm going to advertise a little bit about Wednesday night, about how they treated this lady who was demon possessed as property. And then when Paul goes and delivers her from the demon, she's basically, you know, forgotten. She's nothing more than trash to the people because she no longer makes them money. That's how people were back in Jesus' day. And you know, the interesting part is history does repeat itself, doesn't it? We're not far from that today. We're getting to a place in our society where people are just basically treated like property. Or the idea of is what you can do for me, not what I can do for you. You know, there was a famous speech that we probably all remember, the first lines of it from John F. Kennedy. You could probably say the words with me. Ask not. Say it. Ask not what? Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Now, the line is, what are you going to do for me? Where's my handout? Where's what I want? I want what I want. Don't ask me what I need. Just give me what I want. God demonstrated his love for us in this way. He sent Christ Jesus to lay down his life for us sinners. But the interesting part is, it was not an accident. It was completely intentional. And in John chapter 19, verse 30, we see these words very clear. When Jesus is hanging on the cross, he says, when he received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Think about what Jesus is saying from the cross right there. He's not saying, "Well, I did what I could. I got as far as I could." No, he said, "It is finished, complete, done. No, there's nothing else to come." But there was more to come. Because with him laying down his life, we know in 3 days, he rose again. You see, when you look at the cross, you need to see that the cross has given us the greatest gift of all. It is the greatest gift because it is a gift that gives for all eternity. Through the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection, we now have salvation and we now have power over our greatest adversary. What is your greatest fear? Think about that for just a moment. What is your greatest fear? I can tell you pretty much most everybody's greatest fear is what? Death. The uncertainty of death, the fear of when is it going to come, how's it going to come, is it going to hurt, what's going to happen? But you know, through the cross, we see that Jesus rose from the dead. And so he has power over death. And then we also see something else. His victory over the grave. And through that death and through that resurrection, we have that same victory. And so what we fear the most is now, it's now forgotten. It's now been swallowed up in God's salvation. Because we know that absent from the body is present with the Lord. And so we have that hope and that assurance, that promise, that guarantee that the gift that God has given us through the cross of Jesus Christ will last all eternity. And we have something to celebrate. Because we have victory. In John chapter 10, verse 14 and following, Jesus says this, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. You know, these are interesting verses. What is Jesus putting as our example of who we are to be? We're to be his sheep, and he's our shepherd. You know, I remember when I was working, or when I was ministering in the streets of Orlando, there's a fellow by the name of Chicago. That's what he went by. He had dreads. He was an interesting fella. In fact, most of us thought he was crazy. I still have my thoughts on that. But I remember having interesting conversations with Chicago. Crazy people have some interesting conversations sometimes. Well, I went up to him one day, and he says, you know, you ever think about why Jesus tells us we're to be sheep? It's not really. I've never really thought about it, no. He said, think about this for just a moment. Sheep are the most defenseless animals there are. I mean, and he's kind of right. They have they're woolly. They don't have sharp teeth. They don't have long legs to run away from a lot of predators. They're easy prey in many cases. And so they have to have a shepherd to protect them from just about all the harm that could come to them. A shepherd is there to protect them. And we're called as Christians to be the sheep to the good shepherd, meaning that he is going to protect us from all harm if we trust him. Now, does that mean harm is going to come our way? Yes, there are going to be dangers, there's going to be difficulties, and we are going to wander away from him. But we also have a promise with that with our wandering, he's a good shepherd, and he leaves the 99 to search out for that one that has gone astray. You know, God does everything he can to bring us back to his fold. He wants us to know him. He wants us to be a part of his being. He wants us to fully see the glory of his beauty. He doesn't want us to miss a thing. He wants us to know who he is and know him fully. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 and following says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of the ages? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. God knows exactly what he's doing, and he's done it for our purpose. All that he's done for the purpose of for us to know him more fully. Christ didn't come to just be, to heal a few people and to feed a few thousands and to preach a good message. No. Christ came to be Lord of all the earth, so that through his lordship we may see God in all his glory. You see, Christ demonstrated on a human level what God really is like. Because if we were to see God in his full glory, we'd be like Isaiah. For when Isaiah saw the fullness of God, what was his response? Woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I have seen the glory. He could not fully grasp it. So God, in his infinite wisdom, became one of us, took human form, lived among us, set an example for us to follow, and then laid down his life to redeem us from the sins that have led us astray. He has brought us back to a full understanding of who he is. See, Jesus satisfied our debt. Isaiah 53 and following says, "Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrow, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised, and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous. For he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier. Because he exposed himself to death, he was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and intercede for rebels. Who is Isaiah talking about? He's talking about Jesus. Who else was Isaiah talking about? You and I. Because Jesus laid down his life, willingly took up the cross, and followed his Father's command, and died on the cross of Calvary to give us the greatest gift of all. And the cross serves as a reminder of who we were, and it shows us who we should be in Christ Jesus. You know, it's interesting, our society, how we like power. You know, years ago there was an example of this with all the technology and all that was going into weapons and the weapons development, and they were putting out videos, and man, they could drop a missile inside a chimney at 1,000 miles away. Oh, it was incredible to see the power, the destruction that these weapons could do. Oh, we were marveling over the power of all the technologies we have and all our weapons. And then the movies that come out, and you have all these superheroes and all these different ones, Iron Man, all the power of his suit, and, you know, Spider-Man, he can swing, all these different powers that he has. They're fake. They're not real. Iron Man's not real. Spider-Man's not real. Superman's not real. Sorry to let somebody down. All these are just made up characters. But the one that is real is Jesus Christ. And you know, when he stood before Pilate, he spoke truthfully. He said, if I wanted to, I could call legions of angels at my disposal, and they could stop this from happening if I wanted to. He could. And Satan, when he was tempting Jesus, he spoke truthfully too. Some truth, but he distorted the truth. But some of the truth is he had all these angels. He could turn that bread into that rock into stone, or that stone into bread. He could fall off the highest peak and all that, but he chose not to. Because in his strength, he let his weakness define him. What does that mean? He surrendered himself to God's will. He let himself be salvation for all, because that was his greatest strength. You and I now have the salvation that is available to us through Christ Jesus, if we accept him as our Lord and Savior and surrender our will to him and submit to his lordship the same way he surrendered his will to the Father, we have an opportunity to surrender ourselves to him. You see, the cross gives us the greatest gift, gives us salvation, gives us peace with God, gives us hope to come. And we look forward to that day when we stand before the Father and he welcomes us into his home, where there is no death, there is no sin, there is no pain, there is no sorrow. There's only the presence of God in all his glory. What a beautiful opportunity we have if we just accept it. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and we thank you for the wonderful blessings that you have given us through Christ Jesus. We thank you.